We're going to Florida. Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka. We're going to Florida. Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka.
So we are back. It's been a while. Happy New Year, mate.
Happy New Year. Yeah, it's been a bit longer than that. We missed out on the whole Halloween thing. We took a hiatus because we couldn't be there.
Yeah, spat our dummies out and didn't bother with Halloween or Christmas or New Year. So I'll just quickly, chapter two of Chris Ripley's wonderful book, which is called... The Unofficial Guide, Halloween Horror Nights, The Unofficial Guide. And Chris and his books are the official sponsors of this wonderful podcast. So, the event in 91 called Fright Nights had been such a success for the new park that this year would be bigger and bolder with some 5 nights of Halloween entertainment. This year, the event would have a larger budget, reportedly $1 million, and would aim to reach out to all fans of not just horror, but anyone looking to have a truly unique experience and a good time. Planning for the second event started on January the 8th that year. So there we go. It stops being called Fright Nights
very quickly,
and this is the year that it becomes Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah,
and if you read this chapter, it's not 100% why it changed the name.
No, there was talk that it was possibly because another park was using a name very similar.
It was similar parks, smaller parks, obviously across the country, who were trademarking it. And then not really doing anything with it, that type of stuff. We at Universal Studios see Halloween growing into a 10-day observance.
Like going to the Church of Horror.
Yeah, fucking 10 days, if only. Yeah, so it becomes on the 2nd of September 1992, it's officially trademarked Halloween Horror Nights. And the rest is history. I mean, this year's event could well be starting on the 2nd of October.
Yeah.
Sure, I think it was Simon Isbell seeing a tweet. I don't think anyone else has really picked up on it. I think it's going to be in the Morlando episode on the 10th of February. I'm sure he talks about it in there. It's coming out potentially the 1st of September this year. What do you think about that?
So that's a little bit earlier than normal, isn't it? It's, as we've talked about with Disney, having Halloween in August is ridiculous, and this isn't much further off. The only thing you can say is that it does take quite a lot longer to do what Universal do with Halloween Horror Nights, and they do need to get the money's worth. And obviously, having lost out on a whole year's worth of take-ins and things like that, you can understand why they would bring it forward a little bit, especially with the fact that some of the mazes are, their houses are there. We know they're there.
Yeah.
So they're already ready. So...
You think that if they do make it like the 1st of September, do you think maybe it was 10 houses last year and maybe 8 of them have survived? Do you think maybe they'll put another 4 houses in or make it a 12?
Depends on what they've got room for. Something that we can't really talk about at the moment that hasn't been spoken about much. I think it has been confirmed, though, today that Barney is done completely now, isn't coming back. So we're looking at a building site for the site of two mazes for the two of the houses. So we don't know what's happening there at the moment.
Bloody hell, I can remember being there in 2017 with Carla and Phil in the summer. And the girl told me this is gone. This is gone. This is Nintendo World land, whatever. And then I went back that year for Halloween Horror Nights and it was shut down. And again, they said, yeah, it won't be reopening. Bang. Yeah. It's gone. But 1992, what have you pulled out from Nick's book?
There wasn't a massive amount because it is that far back. There wasn't a lot known. We talked about that with the first one. There was only one house, and that's what we're going to talk about very shortly. Was that one house and the film it was based on? So it was still a new thing at this point, and they were still growing. Obviously, the name change began that growth, but at this point, it was very much just like a local haunt. You go, there's a house and that's it, and then there's some other bits going on around it.
Five Nights is tiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's Joseph Curley said, one way you can tell Halloween Horror Nights take place at Universal and not Disney, there's a show featuring a Madonna impersonator, complete with the cones. You couldn't get more contemporary than that.
No. I imagine if you put that in a show now, everybody in the crowd would be going, huh? What's that? Why's she got ice cream cones on her boobs?
Oh, Madonna. So October the 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th and 31st, the park closed again daily at 5:30 and reopened at 6 for guests with hard tickets. A separate admission for the event of $22.95 was charged, with the park closing at 1 a.m.
Give them their juice. They haven't put the prices up that much.
I don't think they have, yeah.
No, you know, they really haven't.
It's 30 years ago we're talking. Literally, yeah. 30, and it was $22.95. Day visitors to the park could stay and scream all night, paying just $12.95 to stay the same evening. That is value for money, even if it's a new event and it's still quite small.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't have been the numbers. It's probably half empty.
Yeah.
You say that. Something else appalled. We waited in the humidity with no air conditioning for 3 hours and the house was less than 5 minutes to walk through.
That's a bit different. A bit different now when you go in those houses and you freeze your arse off.
Well, yeah. But I mean, some of the walkthroughs are not much longer than 5 minutes still, though, Hardy. The other houses at the event was based on a recent picture Studios Universal called The People Under the Stairs. And we'll talk about that after the commercial break. Now, this is also the first year of them two.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted make an appearance, yeah.
Yeah.
I did write it down. Oh, no, yeah, right. So one of the what was happening with the houses was they did this one house where as they walked out, you were still indoors, but they had this night sky over and all stars and everything, and people were just stopping on the way out and congregating. And then they tried pulsing people through, but it still wasn't working. So something that you can attest to, what they introduced. It was then that we came up with the idea of scare moving, whereby when guests would arrive at the final scene, we would put scare actors lurking inside near where the guests entered. They would literally jump out at select times to literally scare the guests out of the door. It became such an effective technique to keep the queue moving that they still use that technique to this very day.
And we both have first-hand experience of that. I got scared out of the house by Slimer, of all things. And you sat down when Frankenstein scared you.
We've just been, I've just got in from work, right? And I was just going into the kitchen to get some frozen fruit to microwave and put some fahe on it and all that for me pudding. And we're watching the Lodge guys on YouTube. And we bought them a set of teapots and some loose leaf tea leaves over Christmas. And they've started using them on their vlogs. So Kerry shouts, "They're using your teapot, Craig." So I runs like a bat out of hell out of the kitchen, but clips the door frame, bounces off the other door frame, and then that in the kitchen door frame, and then fell and bounced off the living room door frame and then collapsed in the hall on a heap. I've hurt my ribs, my right knee, my right shoulder. But that is very much like what I'm like in a Halloween Horror Night house.
Yeah.
So.
But still never beat the experience of, thank you. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Not today.
Not today, thank you. Now, have you heard of Darkman? Darkman.
No.
It's a film that Sam Raimi did in 1990. Yes. He invented his own superhero.
Yes.
Well, it was at Halloween Horror Nights this year, 92. Darkman was immediately put into confrontation to become Tramway of Doom. Darkman was released in 1990, an American superhero action film directed and co-written by Sam Raimi.
He's already always had a thing for superheroes, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. But there was a superhero in Halloween Horror Nights, Darkman. I want to see that film now. and they used the E.T. Forest for one of the houses. Why don't they do that now? The tranquil Southern Californian redwood forest of Snaking Queue was pumped with bellows of dry ice and ghoulish scare actings waiting on every turn. Some guests were so terrified they ran through the queue to escape to the relative tameness of the popular family ride. Get me on E.T., get me on E.T. Again, it's got to be health and safety. Why they don't do that now? Thunderdome debuted this year, based loosely on the motion picture Mad Max and Beyond the Thunderdome. And that was like a stage show. So it had the Queen of Darkness and her evil Thunderdome henchmen who seized guests from the crowd, cast members, and tortured them. So, yeah, not something else. But then, like Bill and Ted, this is a big one. They were Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, the Wild Stallions themselves. Bill and Ted in the ever-popular Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure. Basically, it was the same storyline every year, more or less.
Yeah. Just with the current popular culture characters throughout.
Yeah.
I know the only time I saw it was in Hollywood, and that year it was the year that the first Captain America had come out. But they had Captain Canada, Captain Mexico, Captain India, I believe, as well. But yeah, that was the only time I ever saw it. Anyway, the first time I went, I didn't see it because I didn't know it existed. I wasn't really au fait. I just kind of went with it. Second time I went was with my wife. And I knew a bit more about it by then. And I kind of studied a bit of Hollywood history at that point. So I knew what was going on. But yeah, that year it was an Avengers thing. And Lady Gaga and stuff like that, I think, was involved.
I mean, I seen it every year with Stuart, the 2 years, and then I seen it with Nick, which I ended up being the last ever year.
Yeah.
I think we need to sort of try and bring something back. we've gone too far of people being offended now by comedy and observational comedy and stuff like that. There wasn't anything particularly bad in any of them shows, I don't think.
No, I think Hollywood was a little bit more affected. That obviously closed quite early on. It was a good few years before they closed it at Florida, but I think the Florida thing was more contractual, wasn't it, than getting rid of it because of people being offended. I think it was to do with the new film and everything.
I think all it was Saturday Night Live on stage.
Yeah. Which I don't know why Universal wouldn't just do something like that.
Yeah.
They own it.
There you go.
So,
boom.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know, is there anything else you want to say about this year?
No, as I said, it was a start. I think this is where they started really getting the ball rolling. The budget started to grow. More people were getting involved. And as you say, they started to bring in external companies it wasn't so much external, but external people, like Wes Craven being involved with the house. It really did kick it into gear. I think that was when they started looking at what they could use going on, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what's on the next episode of this podcast, because it's now starting to build a little bit. I'll end this little segment with a little quote from Michelle Martin, park guest. You have to keep saying to your head, it's fake, it's fake, but it's hard to believe it because it looks so real. There you go. So we'll be back after this commercial break.
After Dark Podcast is sponsored by hhnunofficial.com, the home of Halloween Horror Nights news and rumors all year round. Find us on the web at www.hhnunofficial.com. So stop the fog machines and clear the cobwebs. It's time for another episode of the podcast that's nearly the same as all the others.
So, as we alluded to earlier, one of the main, the big house for this year was The People Under the Stairs.
Yep.
This is going to be
strange because I watched this in about September.
Yes.
That's how long we've been prepped. So my notes may not make a lot of sense to me as I remember them.
Well, I only watched it about maybe 3 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I caught up on a lot of the films that I'd fallen behind on. So I'll let you go first. Have you got any facts on it?
Yeah, I have. So it was released on the 1st of November 1991. So yeah. just under a year until the house was done. It had a budget of $6 million. Do you want to take a guess at how much it made?
1991, $107 million.
And it made $31.347 it made, which isn't a bad return, I suppose. $25 million for a niche horror movie. Didn't do too badly. As we alluded to, it was directed by the great Wes Craven, who directed the first couple of Nightmare on Elm Street, amongst other films. It was actually inspired by a true life story.
Oh?
It was... Wes had read a newspaper article about some cops that had been called to a house saying that they were being robbed. But when they got there, the robbers had gone, the thieves had gone. But what they did find locked behind a door was a group of children that weren't allowed out.
No way.
It was inspired by a true life story that he'd written. Hilary Swank actually auditioned to play Roach. and that went on to be played by actor Sean Whalen. So they weren't sure what sex they were going to cast. So it was an open casting call.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Wes Craven was actually developing a TV series based on the property when he died. He was looking to bring it back in some way. And the scenes from the film were also included in Twister Ride It Out at Universal Studios Florida before it closed. And that is based on a film that also features Sean Whalen.
Fucking mental.
So, yeah, there's a few little strange things for you there based on that film.
Do you want to give your impressions then?
Yeah.
See how we get on with the September callback.
Yeah. I said, cool tarot opening. I quite like the opening. I remember there was some tarot cards and things like that included. I said, to start with, it's a story to tug on the heartstrings. So obviously the little boy grabs hold of the heartstrings right from the word go. Not what you'd expect from a horror movie. But with my next note, I said it's got a bit of a spooky vibe, but not really a horror story at this point. And that's kind of proven by the fact that it was a real life story. It wasn't so much of a horror film, but I said it feels very of its time. Yeah. It definitely felt like an early 90s film just from the what they were wearing and things like that. It hadn't particularly aged well in that sense. I said it has a feeling and a look of the likes of Coming to America and Sister Act. Again, very much that same time period.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fashions.
Yeah, exactly. I said, while it doesn't feel like Nightmare on Elm Street, it does feel like an early incarnation of Scream at times, which was obviously another Wes Craven story. The hand is creepy.
Yeah.
I think that's when all you saw was the hand. Then I picked up there was a use of the N-word.
Which was a bit
of a shocker. No, I didn't either, and that's why I had to make a note of it. The unseen is always scarier than the in-the-face stuff. It did have that creepy vibe going through it. I said, I'm not sure Craven would get away with directing a Black Castle-led film in this day and age. If he was trying to put this film together, I don't think people would have taken it. You'd be looking for someone like Ryan Coogler to direct something like this, that obviously directed Black Panther and Creed and stuff like that. The hand is gory and the people in the walls are, I'm not sure how to describe. They aren't scary. Unusual, maybe, is the word. Then I said, zombie-like, even, was my next note. Then I wrote mental mutt. And then the dog makes an appearance. Yeah.
Fucking horrible, that dog. I hate dogs.
Yeah. Then I wrote, other than the actual people in the walls, film feels more like a thriller than horror. Definitely didn't. I don't think it's a film that they would pick today to do a house, other than if you're looking at stuff like Us.
Yeah,
which is a bit similar to this.
Yeah, it definitely. There was a couple of jump scares at the start, which when it's the story starts to move forward. Yeah. And the characters are in, the fellas in the wall and stuff like that. Definite jump scares. But it never goes to the next. It never becomes a fully fledged horror film, I don't think.
No. Then I said, the family themselves are just outright bonkers. Then I wrote, Rubber Suit Guy from American Horror Story. This film definitely has an influence on season one. So obviously the rubber suit guy was in the basement of the house.
Yeah.
So why are the bad guys always retards?
Yeah.
It always seems like that's the way they go. But he is lovable. He makes you think he is the bad guy, but he isn't at all.
Yeah.
Right good hook to the bollocks. I seem to be watching a lot of films with people being punched and stuff in the nuts and fannies and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we do.
The dancing around scene just shows the madness. The dog animatronic is just plain bad.
Yeah.
Then I noted But one of the actors, one of the actors played a dad on Angel, the Buffy spin-off.
All right, okay.
then I wrote like an evil Waltons. That bondage suit, so the rubber suit comes back again. Some of the fights are quite violent. I thought at the end it became quite in your face. Yeah. The makeup design I thought was quite decent. I think they did a good job with that. A strange end to a great finale. Average film with a more gripping finale than it deserves.
Yeah.
And I gave it 71.
Okay, yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Just an average film. There was nothing wrong with it. I enjoyed watching it. Not something I'd go back to, I don't think.
I'm sure I allude to it somewhere, but do you know everything that's going on in the world now with Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
You know, this is a poor black people going from the inner city slums, going to the white suburbs, especially with the use of the N-word, the way it was done. Yeah. It was like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like subliminal racism in it all the time.
And now that was the way it was, wasn't it?
It's more highlighted now because you see it. I'm seeing things through different eyes now, and I'm like, you know, even Walt Disney World, I think, is a horribly racist place now, just because all the cleaners are black and all the managers are white. I mean, obviously, there's exceptions to everything, but...
Well, obviously, there is exceptions to the rules. And the thing, you look at Disney and you look at some of their attractions and you think, well, they've got a hall of presidents. How many of those presidents are black? One.
Yeah, and how many of them were racist and had slaves?
Yeah, exactly. And I can't say anything because my relation was one of those. Quite clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Did he... So, the first one. I can't really say anything there, but you do look at a lot of these things and you do wonder, and you look at things like the Jungle Cruise. Mm. And that is for a massive part of it, like you've got Trader Sam trading people's heads.
Well, I mean, even Tom Sawyer's Island, that's taken from a book that extensively uses the N-word. Yeah. And they've tried to alter history now by removing it from the book. And they've changed it to something else. But anyway, so what I wrote, don't know that lad's name, but isn't he Adam Moonwalker?
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah. There was only a couple of people that I recognised. He was one of them, and as we talked about earlier, the guy that played Roach.
He's had a growth spurt, though, hasn't he? Because he's obviously... Yeah. Moonwalker was about 87, was he? 88?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Oh, God, Pulp Fiction. I think that must be the gimp suit. Earn Some Money, Jackson Style. White Villains, No Face Yet, Gulp. Landlord, Chat, So 1990s, All the Fashions. You Didn't Lick This, Did You? Oh, There's the Face. Oh, I Don't Like Her. Oh, Fuck the Fork. I can't remember what that was about. Oh, Fuck the Fork. Shit the N-word.
Yep, there we go.
Sanctuary of Pussy. It's fucking jarring, isn't it, when you say it like that? Don't Do It, Don't Go In, The Voodoo Doll with the gas uniform on. So at that point, it was like, is this... They were like with the tarot cards at the start.
Yeah.
And that little voodoo doll that's lying there, and you're thinking, is this supernatural?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It just wasn't. Oh, Those Flies and the Mincer. So in the kitchen, there's nothing worse, is there, than a room full of flies?
It's just
dirty. I'm too chicken shit for this week. Gulf War, Spencer. Gold coin watching. While the light is there, shit myself. Connie, electric shock. No, don't go in there. Gulf. He's chinned the dog. I love that was boss when he chinned the dog. Going to kill you. This is like an evil version of the Goonies. It's a dream, just rippy. Oh, is that the girl? Oh no, with the dress, and it's caught, and she's screaming, and I'm just going, just rip the fucking dress, will you? This is mental. The brother and sister. So like, he goes back to his uncle, doesn't he, when he's got the gold coins, and they just move the whole story forward like that, bam. In a split second, just with the uncle saying, "Oh yeah, you've been to that old house. You do know their brother and sister." Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, "Fucking hell, it all makes sense." Nice move, kid. So I like that double cross at the end, where he gets back in and everything, and he basically goes die hard on them. The double bluff, fucking nonce, I put. Because he's a nonce, basically. Fuck that chimney shit. It's like Home Alone, this. This film is the original Blum. Oh, no, is the original Black Lives Matters.
Yeah.
Brilliant, 89 out of 100. It was a weird ending, though.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all fucking traumatised, malnutritioned. They've all been eating each other to survive.
Yeah,
you know, mutilated, and there's like a party going on, and all this money coming out, just the fucking, and they're just like, they just walk off. I want to know what happened to them. You know, did they just go to a cop shop, or did they just go home?
yeah, it's a little bit strange, isn't it? As I said, I felt the finale was befitting a better film than the rest of the film was. I thought it finished on a really, really good note, but some of it just lacked. It wasn't kind of, it didn't sell itself as anything. It wasn't a horror story, wasn't a thriller altogether. Once originally, apparently, I don't know whether they wanted to do something a little bit different with it. I'm not sure, but it definitely wasn't a typical Wes Craven horror story, that's for sure. It has tones of Nightmare, it has tones of Scream, but not quite up to those levels.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I think also, if you read Chris's book, there was a sequel was on the cards, and all the sets and everything were in the warehouse. And then all of a sudden, it became apparent there was going to be no sequel.
Yeah.
So Universal just basically raided the sets.
Yeah.
And repurposed them into a walkthrough scare house, basically, which is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, there you go. What? I've got the Facebook thing up there here now to read out. But what are we looking at for the next film?
I'm not sure. I think they used the same house the following year. From what I can remember, it's been a while since I read the next chapter. So it might well be that we have to do Bill and Ted.
Okay.
Because I think they kept the same house the following year.
All right. Yeah. So it might be Bill and Ted, but we'll read the chapter. I haven't read the chapter yet.
Yeah.
And it'll be a surprise, listener.
Yeah.
Might be Bill and Ted. What I wouldn't mind doing then is, I have watched the first Bill and Ted, and I think I've seen the second Bill and Ted, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I certainly haven't seen the third Bill and
Ted.
No,
we've not seen the third one yet either.
So we'll see what happens, because I'm quite in. I'm not a big Bill and Ted fan. No. I don't get it. I don't see.
I was more of a Wayne's World boy.
Oh, now you're talking.
Then I was Bill and Ted.
Yes. 100%. Where's Wayne's World 3? Come on, Michael Myers.
Well, they're coming back for Super Bowl.
You're shitting me.
No, they don't. I don't know whether it's an advert or what, but yeah, they're back together. They did release a little teaser last week.
Oh my God, you'll have to send me that.
Yeah.
So this morning I got off and my girls have been giving me grief because we were in Florida in 2019, family holiday, and I took a fair bit of footage and only some of it is on my YouTube channel, and they want me to basically finish the holiday off. So I went in, and because I'm always busy fucking pottering around, whatever, and I went in and I thought, hold on a minute, let's just see, you know, if I can be arsed. And I just went to all the Halloween Horror Night stuff and I just dropped it all into a film and I just put a bit of backing music on it and I just published it and I shared it. So Halloween Horror Night 29, remembered, seems like a lifetime ago. If you attended, please leave comments below. And we actually got some lovely comments.
Yeah.
Daniel Livingston, oh man, I miss HHN. What a great few days I had there, topped off with meeting you all at the NBC. Hopefully not too long before we can do it all again. Joe Cutterwell, loved every minute of it. Had goosebumps walking through the Ghostbusters house. What a fucking house that was. Although I think Universal Monsters was number one.
Universal was my number one, the Monsters.
Oh, but it's the Ghostbusters.
Oh. I know, but I think the Universal Monsters was the first one we all did together, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
We met you in Duff Gardens, didn't we, in Moe's?
Yeah.
And then wandered down to those two houses. Yeah, I know. Oh. I was literally just saying, and I've watched your video three times today already. And I was like picking up that I could work out where the days were, so I could work out the one where it pissed it down with rain on us before we went in, and yeah. I got drenched because I'd got you lot had gone to bed, hadn't you? Or Nick had come back. It was after the meet.
Yeah.
And Nick, I'd gone to bed after the meet. You guys all went to get something to eat. So Nick went off to Mythos. You went off with Stuart, didn't you, to get some food and stuff. And I'd gone back to the hotel, watch Man City in bed for a couple of hours. Out of sleep, and then Nick came back. He went to sleep, and I thought, right, well, we've got a couple of hours. I can go and get some stuff done. And I got as far as like walking across to the boat, and the heavens absolutely opened, and didn't stop for about an hour. So I literally, there was nothing I could do. I had to move. So I got absolutely drenched, and then you put a photo in the video of you when you were in Moe's again, opposite, looking at Duff Gardens. And the path just completely drenched.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like, well, that was the night that we'd had the meet. Then there was the day when you were you went off. Me and Nick went to Disney, and you and Stuart had the day to yourself, and you'd kind of done some bits by yourself, and then met up later on. And I could tell that where that was as well. And it was really nice to see those memories again of what we did, and of course our Voodoo Donuts trips, which I can't eat one now.
Yeah,
right. It annihilated it before it even got to the gate of the park.
It just feels like it was so close. It was so, but also so far away. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, Phil Gardner's put, really enjoyed going to this one. Was a solid event. I've still got my house list in my order, what I liked. I'm not going to read out his house list. Nick's is a weird comment. It was an amazing year. I remember fondly. What does that want? You fucking weirdo. Craig Willocks. It was a good solid year. Almost my first experience of Rush of Fear. Oh, sorry. Also my first experience of Rush of Fear and Express. I will always go with that option if it still exists in the future, as it was great to be able to get around all the houses every night. This was my ranking of the houses, and then he goes through. Out of the four I've been to, Halloween Horror Nights 26, 27, 28, 29, I think 28 was the best, but 29 is definitely a good year, with the exception of Depths of Fear. Paul Brilpo, I wish I could have made it. You better do it again sometime. And Todd Higgins, was a blast. We love you, Todd. Introduced my husband to Halloween Horror Nights for the first time and got to meet some damn cool podcasters in person that year as well.
Did you meet Lou Mongello then?
Yeah, I met Lou and Ricky Gabanti. They were dry humping each other with a frozen butter beer. And he's put a lovely picture of me in my pink Hawaiian shirt, Todd in his blue wallpaper shirt, and you in your Universal After Dark t-shirt for the event. And then he's actually got a picture of Nick.
When we all scarpered, yeah. And went and did a house without him.
Nick is remembering it fondly there, look. He looks like Jesus, Nick, with all the fucking lights behind the top back of his head. Dave Elliott, first year at Halloween Horror Nights and absolutely loved it. Universal Monsters was the first house we went to and also ended up being my favourite. The house I liked the least was Killer Clowns. Gutted to miss the meetup by a few days, but we'll meet Boston White at the Simpsons Stay and Scream. Looking at, I don't know if Boston knows about that one. Nice bit of stalking. looking forward to getting back, hopefully, next year when the world's back to normal. Fucking amen, brother. We're that close, aren't we, to having a normal world?
We are. Not far off. We're certainly getting air in this country, that's for sure. At this point, 10.5 million people have had their jab in the UK, which is fantastic. Compared to other countries, we're flying.
So fuck you, rest of the world.
Yeah.
We could go and invade everywhere. We can go and invade Europe. Then we can fly over and kick America's ass. Let's just come back, rule Britannia. Also, all our vaccinations like that. Fuck off. Fuck us. So, should we wind it up?
Yeah.
What do we say on this one?
Cue the music.
Cue the fucking music, lovies. Cue the fucking music.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.